Tom opens his briefcase without even being asked. The guard looks inside. He sees a sheaf of documents in a large brown envelope. Otherwise, the briefcase is empty. "Would you like me to remove them?" Tom asks. The security guard shakes his head and smiles. "I hardly think a few slips of paper represent a clear and present danger, Mr. Shaw," Tom smiles back. "You can go through now," the security guard tells him. "Have a nice day." "I will. Thank you." The president's chief of staff is waiting for him just beyond the security gates. Don Jackman, hawk-nosed and hawk-eyed, but charming with it. "Mr. Shaw," he shakes Tom's hand warmly. "The president has been very much looking forward to today."
"As have I, Mr. Jackman," Tom replies. "As have I."
They walk through the corridors of power. How many individuals of note, Tom wonders, have been led along these carpets? Heads of state and captains of industry, heroes and villains. Yet as he passes the offices and the meeting rooms, he senses everybody stopping their work to watch him. Even these White House workers, their appetites for powerful men and women jaded, want to catch a glimpse of him. How strange it is, Tom thinks to himself once again. How very, very strange. Then he is being led into the Roosevelt Room. This is the second time Tom has been in here. The first time, under very different circumstances, he sat at a long, polished table. Today, however, in addition to the TV cameras, he sees three rows of chairs, lecture theater style. An audience of about 50 people, mostly the great and the good from the scientific world and a few journalists. Witnesses, I suppose, thinks Tom. But witnesses to what? The president walks in, accompanied by black-suited Secret Service personnel. There is a blinding cluster of flashes as the president approaches Tom with a smile.
"Welcome to the White House, Mr. Shaw," he says, and he offers his hand.
But Tom declines to take it. Two Secret Service officers, having witnessed the obvious slight, automatically take a tense step forward, but the president waves them away and tries again. It is difficult to be a man of honor in the world he now inhabits, but Tom sees no reason not to make an attempt. And it would be unseemly, to say the least, for him to shake a man's hand just before he takes his life. "Shall we begin, Mr. President?" he asks. The president clearly doesn't know what to say or how to respond. But the cameras are rolling and the eyes of the world are upon him. He dare not show his displeasure or his confusion. He watches as Tom takes one of the two seats set out for himself and the president, places his briefcase upon his knees, opens it up, and takes out a large brown envelope. For the first time, Tom feels a sense of anticipation as, literally, he holds the life of the President of the United States in his hands.
"Yes," the president says. "Yes, of course. Let's begin."